Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we come before you on this, your holy Sabbath day, to give honor and praise and glory to your name, Father. We also come to hear from you, Father. We come to learn of your word. We ask, Father, that your word would have free course in us, and that you would correct us, Father, that you would teach us, that you would lift us up from our beds of affliction, that you would touch our bodies and our hearts, Father, and cause each and every one of us to draw closer to you, Father, because we know that as we draw closer to you, you draw closer to us. You grant us with more of your Holy Spirit. You touch our bodies, Father, and heal us. You open up our hearts and minds that we would understand your word, and that we would walk in your truth and follow in the footsteps of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. We know that it's only through you that we have an opportunity at life eternal, and through Yahshua's shed blood that we have that opportunity. Help us not only to take that blood, Father, to cleanse each and every one of our sins, but that we would be faithful in accepting and putting into practice those laws and that covenant that you made with us through Yahshua's shed blood. Father, we ask that you would strengthen each and every one of us, that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word, that it would have free course in us, and that we would truly rejoice, Father, in getting to know you better. Help us, Father, as we truly seek your face. We know that there's only one true King, and it's you. And we ask, Father, that we would have our allegiance to you through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And in his holy name, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. Almighty Yahweh has showed us, as he did ancient Israel, great deliverance when he brought them out of Egyptian bondage and us from the bondage of idols and false religion. How many of us want to go back as ancient Israel did, especially in our hearts? Do you trust Yahweh to be your leader, or do you want an earthly king? Turn with me to Judges chapter 8. We'll start this message, Judges chapter 8, and we'll start in verses 22 and 23. Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, "Rule over us, both you and your son's son also, for you have saved us out of the hand of Midian." And Gideon said to them, "I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. Yahweh shall rule over you." And that's very important for us to understand, that Yahweh should rule over us in our lives. First Samuel chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 1. That's 1 Samuel chapter 8. "And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Yael, Joel, and the name of the second was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain, and took bribes and perverted justice, just like the sons of Eli. They were not honorable men." And in verse 4 it says, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel to Ramah. And they said to him, 'Behold, you are old, and your sons walk not in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations.' But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' And Samuel prayed to Yahweh, And Yahweh said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not be king over them. My question to you today, brethren, is, have we rejected Yahweh as our king over us? You see that the people had a gripe. They had a problem because Samuel's sons did not walk like Samuel walked. Samuel was righteous before Yahweh, but his children didn't do that. But instead of the people allowing Yahweh to raise up a leader for them, they wanted a king. They wanted to be like the nations around them. And we can't be like that, brethren. We know that we have a covenant with the Almighty, and we can't be like the people of this world. In verse 8 it says, according to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, in that they have forsaken me and served other Elohim, so do they also to you. Now therefore listen to their voice. However, you shall protest solemnly to them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of Yahweh to the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them unto him for his chariots. He's going to make them his army and to be his horsemen. And they shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint them to himself for captains of thousands and captains of fifties. And he will set some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and the instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be his perfumers and to be his cooks and to be his bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. So he's going to take from the people the things that they cherish the most. And he will take the tenth of your seed. Oh, no, back. In verse 14, and he will take of your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards, and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your best young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your flocks, and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because your king, whom you have chosen, and Yahweh will not answer you in that day. So not only did you have the tithe that you are commanded to give Yahweh. You have your first tithe, your second tithe. Even in the third and the sixth year, you have the third tithe. But now you're going to have another tax or a tithe, 10%, it says, that you're going to give to the king. So that's more of your resources that you're going to give, as well as the best of your sons and your daughters and your servants and your flocks and your herds. Verse 19, but the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Didn't Yahweh fight the battles of Israel? Didn't Yahweh take care of that without an army prior? He told them to stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh when he destroyed the armies of Egypt. Verse 21, and Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the ears of Yahweh. And Yahweh said to Samuel, listen to their voice and give them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, go to every man to his city. Turn over to chapter 10, of 1 Samuel. Chapter 10, verses 17 to 19. And Samuel called the people to gather to Yahweh to Mizpah. And he said to the children of Israel, "In this manner says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all the kingdoms that oppressed you. But you have this day rejected your Elohim, who himself saved you out of all your calamities and your distresses. And you have said unto him, 'No, but set a king over us.' Now, therefore, present yourselves before Yahweh by your tribes and by your thousands." If we indeed reject Yahweh in our hearts, brethren, we will walk as the nations around us. We will be as the nations around us who choose men. They choose the people, the mighty people around them, the ones, the politicians, the leaders. Now, Yahweh teaches us to honor the leaders, okay, and pray for the leaders. I know in our former affiliation, we're told to do this, to pray for the leaders, but it seems like we only wanted to do that when the Republicans were in administration, when the Bushes were in. When Clinton was in, it was a different thing. It was complaint, complaint, complaint. You know, but Yahweh tells us to pray for all of our leaders because they would not be there except Yahweh allowed it. So we have to be faithful, brethren, and choose Yahweh over the leaders of this world. Turn to Psalm 89. Yahweh's will is going to be done. In Psalm 89, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "I will sing of the loving kindness of Yahweh forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations." So we're going to let our children know and our grandchildren know. "For I've said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness will you establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant. Your seed will I establish forever and build up your throne to all generations." Selah. "And the heavens shall praise your wonders, O Yahweh, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones." Yahweh is looking for a particular group. He's looking for a group who are sincere, holy, who are willing to keep his covenant law, to follow after him. It's easy to say, you know, or want to be like the nations, to follow. But Yahweh tells us that, you know, he chose us to be a special people, a group of people who are different from the rest of the world. And that's brought out in verse 5 because they are holy ones. That's the difference, the separation between the holy and the common. The clean and the unclean. Verse 6, it says, "For who in the skies can be compared to Yahweh?" Who can be compared to Yahweh? No one. "Who among the sons of the mighty is like Yahweh?" And the only one we can answer that would say Yahshua the Messiah. "And El, very terrible in the council of the holy ones, and to be feared above all them that are all around him. O Yahweh Elohim of hosts, who is a mighty one like you, O Yah, and your faithfulness is all around you." Drop down to verse 15. It said, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They walk, O Yahweh, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all the day. and in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horns shall be exalted. For our shield belongs to Yahweh, and our king to the Holy One of Israel. We know that the king that he's speaking of is Yahshua the Messiah, because he was of the seed of David. And in verse 16 it says, in your name. It's only one name, brethren, by which men shall be saved, and that's the name of Yahshua the Messiah, which means Yahweh is salvation. So we know that Yahweh, his name, is important. In verse 19 it says, then you spoke in a vision to your saints and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. My arm also shall strengthen him. And the arm of Yahweh is Yahshua the Messiah. He is the one that brought all of this to pass. Nothing was created without Yahshua. Drop down to verse 24. It says, but my faithfulness and my loving kindness shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also on the sea, and his right hand on the rivers. And he shall cry to me, you are my Father, my El, the rock of my salvation. I also will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My loving kindness will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. This is very important to Yahweh's people, because they are going to endure forever. Verse 30 says, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my ordinances, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that have gone out of my lips. And I think Al said that earlier. Yahweh does not lie. His promises are sure. We know this. All we have to do is be faithful ourselves and not reject him as being the king over us. It says in verse 35, once have I sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in the sky. Selah. Pause. Think on it. Drop down to verse 48. What man is he that shall live and not see death, that shall deliver his soul from the power of Sheol, Selah? Yahweh, where are the former loving kindness? Where are the former loving kindnesses, which you swore to David in your faithfulness? Remember, Yahweh, the reproach of your servant, how I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty peoples, with which your enemies have reproached, O Yahweh, with which they have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be Yahweh forevermore. Amen and amen. Like I said, the name of Yahweh is very important, brethren. You have to understand that Yahweh is in control at all times. He allows certain things to happen for certain reasons. Turn to Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. We know Daniel was one of Yahweh's faithful servants who had gone into captivity. But Daniel never forsook Yahweh. Yahweh was always first in Daniel's life. If we allow Yahweh to rule in our life, we will have the victory over our enemies, and we cannot compromise. Daniel chapter 6, it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, who would be like governors, who should be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three presidents, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might give account to them, and that the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was distinguished above the presidents and the satraps, because he had an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the satraps sought to find occasion against Daniel as touching the kingdom. But they could find no occasion nor fault, because as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his Elah, his mighty one, his Elohim. Or Eloah, because Eli is a singular form of, I'm sure, Elohim. Then these presidents and satraps assembled together to the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the deputies and the satraps, the counselors and the governors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a strong interdict that whoever shall ask a petition of any Elah or man for 30 days, save to you, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the interdict, and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alters not. Therefore, King Darius signed the writing and the interdict. But, you know, we know subtly, they were trying to just find a way to get rid of Daniel, because they were offended, obviously, in Daniel, because he was a righteous man. And this is what happens with people who are full of themselves, but as you can see, they are not Yahweh's servants. Verse 10, and when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Now his windows were open in his chamber towards Jerusalem. And he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his Elah, as he did before time. Then these men assembled together and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his Elah, because they knew Daniel was going to pray, because he did it three times a day. They knew his habits. They knew Daniel was faithful to Yahweh, and that he prayed on a regular basis. And that's why he came up with this law against praying or supplicating any mighty one for 30 days except the king. Verse 12, then they came near and spoke before the king concerning the king's interdict. Have you not signed an interdict that every man that shall make petition to any Elah or mighty or man within 30 days, save to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, this, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which alters not. Then they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is of the children of the captivity of Yehuda, the worshiper of Yahweh, regards not you, O king, nor the interdict that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was severely displeased and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He wasn't displeased because Daniel broke that statute or that law. He was displeased because it was Daniel, and he sought to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the going down of the sun to rescue him. Then these men assembled together to the king and said to the king, "Now, know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no interdict nor statute which the king establishes may be changed." So they even had the king hooked up in this loop that he couldn't change. Couldn't change it. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said to Daniel, "Your mighty one, your Allah, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." This is the king telling Daniel he's going to be delivered. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his rulers, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. So the king fasted for Daniel. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came near to the den, to Daniel, he cried with a lamentable voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living Allah, mighty one, is your mighty one, your Allah, whom you serve continually, able to deliver you from the lions?" Then said Daniel to the king, "O king, live forever. My Allah has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me, because as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before you, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king very glad, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he had trusted in his Allah, and his mighty one, in Yahweh. This is why we have to have Yahweh as our king. Is Yahweh your king? That's the title of this message, brethren. Is Yahweh your king? See, there are layers. There are layers upon layers of leadership in this country and the world. But Yahweh has to be our king. We cannot have anyone above us but Yahweh. Yes, we have leadership. I'm talking about we have a president, we have governors and all of that, but none of them are more important to us than Yahweh. And Yahweh's commandments supersedes any commandments of man. And that's why it's so important for us to understand this. Verse 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men that had accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had mastery over them and broke all their bones in pieces before they came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the Allah, the mighty one of Daniel, for he is the living El and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even to the end. And he delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and in the earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And this is all during the time that he's in captivity. You see, Yahweh raised him up, and he was pretty much second, just like Joseph, who was in Egypt, second to Pharaoh. If we allow Yahweh to rule in our lives, brethren, we will have the victory over our enemies. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 to 5. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of the Messiah and stewards of the mysteries of Yahweh. Here, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be is found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yes, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he that judges me is Yahshua. Therefore judge nothing before the time until Yahshua comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of hearts. And then shall each man have his praise from Yahweh, because he will have overcome this life. Once you have accepted Yahshua, you no longer have an allegiance to an earthly ruler. You understand? Our allegiance is to Yahweh. Now, he tells us, and which we'll get into a little bit, to still honor the king if there's an earthly ruler. You know, they've been placed there. We still have to follow those commandments or laws, as long as they don't violate Yahweh's. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, even as we obtain mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor hailing the word of Yahweh deceitfully, which people do, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Yahweh. And even if our message of good tidings is veiled, it is veiled in them that perish, in whom the mighty one of this world, Satan the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the good tidings of the glory of the Messiah, who is the image of Elohim, should not dawn upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but the Messiah Yahshua's sovereign, and ourselves as your servants for Yahshua's sake, seeing it is Elohim that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of Yahweh in the face of Yahshua the Messiah. And we know that the Torah is light. That Torah, which Yahweh has taught us, brings us to the Messiah. The end goal of the law is Yahshua. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of Yahweh, and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side, brethren, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not to despair, pursued, yet not forsaken, struck down, yet not destroyed. You see what happened to Daniel. He was distressed, pressed, perplexed, but not to despair. He was pursued, yet not forsaken. He was struck down, yet not destroyed, always bearing about in the body of the dying of Yahshua, that the life also of Yahshua may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Yahshua's sake, that the life of Yahshua may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and we therefore also speak, knowing that he that raised up the sovereign Yahshua shall raise us up also with Yahshua and shall present us with you. And we know that Yahweh is going to do this because he is our king. He is the one that we love and worship. Verse 15, for all things are of your sakes, that the grace being multiplied through the many may cause the thanksgiving to abound to the glory of Yahweh. It's for his benefit, brethren, not for our own. It's for his benefit. Verse 16, therefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, works for us more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's the difference. The people of this world are concerned with the things that they can see, touch, smell, hear, but not us. We're concerned with the more spiritual things, the things that are not seen. Turn to Psalm 1. Very familiar passage. Psalm 1. There's a separation between the holy and the common, between the clean and the unclean. But it says here in Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh. And on his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also does not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper, just like Joseph, just like Daniel. These men were under a pagan king, but their allegiance was to Yahweh. Yahweh was their king. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Yahweh knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. So we have to make our decision. Which way we want to go, brethren? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And this is a familiar passage for most of us. We use part of it in closing the Sabbath. Starting in verse 8, it says, finally, be you all like-minded, compassionate, loving as brethren, tender-hearted, humble-minded, not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but contrariwise blessing. For to this were you called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. We have to be like Yahshua. We can't talk about one another in a negative way. We can build each other up. We can't tear each other down. Verse 11, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of Yahweh are upon the righteous and his ears to their supplication. But the face of Yahweh is upon them that do evil. The face of Yahweh is upon them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be zealous of that which is good? The devil's going to try. But I'm telling you, you have the victory over him through Yahshua the Messiah. But sanctifying your hearts. No, verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And fear not their fear, neither be troubled. But sanctify in your hearts the Messiah as sovereign, ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that in what you are spoken against, that they may be put to shame that revile your good manner of life in the Messiah. For it is better if the will of Yahweh should so will that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing, because the Messiah also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to Yahweh, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, And truly, that's what Yahshua did. He brought us to Yahweh. He brought us to Yahweh. Romans chapter 13. Starting in verse 1. Romans 13, 1. It says, let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers, for there is no power but of Yahweh, and the powers that be are ordained of Yahweh. Therefore, he that resists the power withstands the ordinance of Yahweh, and they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. For rulers are not a terror to the good work, but to the evil. So if we're doing good, we don't have to be concerned with what's happening, with what we have to go through. And would you have no fear of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise from the same. And Yahweh is where we want to get our praise. And he is a minister of Yahweh, in verse 4, to you for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is a minister of Yahweh, an avenger for wrath to him that does evil. For this reason, you must be in subjection. And that's the problem with a lot of people. They can't be in subjection, not only to their parents, their husbands, their fathers, their leaders. Not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause you pay tribute also, for they are the ministers of Yahweh's service, attending continually upon this very thing. Render to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. So if Yahweh is our king, he deserves our honor and our praise. Verse 8, owe no man anything save to love one another. For he that loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there be is any other commandment, it is summed up in this word, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. And we've seen that in Yahshua's life. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And knowing this, knowing the season, that already it is time for you to wake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. We can't sin anymore, brethren. We know what we're supposed to do if Yahweh is our king. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy. But put on the sovereign Yahshua the Messiah, and do not make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust of it. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, we'll start in verse 1. This is very important, brethren. If Yahweh is your king, it says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to show love to strangers, for in this manner some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them that are ill-treated, as being yourself also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers, Elohim will judge. Be free from the love of money, content with such things as you have, for himself has said, I will in no way fail you, neither will I in any manner forsake you, so that with good courage we say, Yahweh is my helper. I will not fear. What shall man do to me? See, Daniel wasn't concerned what his judgment was going to be when he went and prayed, continued to do what he knew was right because Yahweh was his king. He went and prayed even though there was a commandment against it. It was a man-made commandment against it. It went against what Yahweh tells us to do. Okay? Verse 7, it says, remember them that have the rule over you, men that spoke to you the word of Yahweh, and considering the issue of their life, imitate their faith. Yahshua the Messiah the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried away with diverse and strange teachings, for it is good that the heart is established by grace, not by meats, in which they that occupy themselves were not profited. We have an altar of which they have no right to eat to serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest for sin are burnt outside the camp. Therefore, Yahshua also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Let us therefore go forth to him outside the camp bearing his reproach. For we have not here an enduring city. But we seek after the city which is to come. Through him, then, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to Yahweh continually, that is, the fruit of the lips which make confession to his name. But do not forget to do good and communicate with such sacrifices Yahweh is well pleased. For with such sacrifices Yahweh is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit, for they watch in behalf of your souls. And they shall give account that they may do this with joy and not with grief. For this were unprofitable for you. Pray for us. For we are persuaded that we have a good conscience, desiring to live honorably in all things. And I exhort you the more exceedingly to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. Now the Elohim of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep with the blood of an eternal covenant. This is not a covenant that is just for a short time. It's an eternal covenant. That's forever, brethren. Our Savior Yahshua make you perfect in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Yahshua the Messiah, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Second Thessalonians. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 to 5. That's 2 Thessalonians 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of Yahweh may run and be glorified, even as also it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and evil men, for all have not faith. We know the same thing that happened to Daniel and Joseph is going to happen to us. And he's telling us here in 2 Thessalonians, Paul is telling us, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and evil men, for all have not faith. But Yahweh is faithful, who established you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in Yahweh touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command, and the Master direct your hearts into the love of Yahweh. And that's key, brethren, that we have that love for our King, Yahweh, and into the patience of the Messiah. Turn back to Daniel. Book of Daniel. Chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, we start in verse 1. We're speaking of Nebuchadnezzar, the king, to all the peoples and nations and languages and that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It has seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High Allah has worked toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. At least Nebuchadnezzar realized that Yahweh is in control over all things. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid. The thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore, I made a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then came the magicians and the enchanters, the Chaldeans and the soothsayers, and I told them the dream before them, but they did not make known to me the interpretation of it. But at last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my Allah, and in whom is the spirit of your holy Elohim. And I told the dream before him, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy Elohim is in you, and no secret troubles you, tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation of it. In this manner were the visions of my head upon my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the middle of the earth, and the height of it was great, and the tree grew and was strong, and the height of it reached to heaven, and the sight of it to the end of all the earth. The leaves of it were fair, and the fruit of it much, and in it was food for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it, and the birds of the heaven dwelt in the branches of it. All flesh was fed from it. And I saw the vision of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. And he cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off its branches, shake off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beast get away from under it and the fowls from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of its roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth, and let his heart be changed from the man's, and let a beast's heart be given to him, and let seven times pass over him, 7 years. The sentence is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will and sets up over it the lowest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen, and you, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the spirit of the holy Elohim is in you. Now I'm going to tell you today that the spirit of the holy Elohim is in each and every one of his people. We all might not have the ability to interpret dreams, but we have a gift from Yahweh. And if Yahweh is our king, he's going to use each and every one of his people in these last days for his honor and glory. Verse 19, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was struck dumb for a while, and his thoughts troubled him. The king answered and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation of it trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, My sovereign, the dream is to them that hate you, and the interpretation of it is to your adversaries. The tree that you saw, which grew and was strong, whose height reached to heaven, and the sight of it to all the earth, whose leaves were fair and the fruit of it much, and in it was food for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the birds of the heavens had their habitation. It is you, O king, that have grown and become strong, and your greatness has grown and reaches to heaven, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven, saying, Hew down the tree and destroy it, nevertheless leave the stump of the roots of it in the earth, even with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let the portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him, as 7 years. Then this is the interpretation, O king, and it is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my sovereign king, that you shall be driven from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass as oxen, and shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and 7 years shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High, that's Yahweh, rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be sure to you. After that you shall know that the heavens do rule. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be accepted to you. Break off your sins by righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if there may be a lengthening of your tranquility. So he was given an out. Verse 28, and this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking in the royal palace of Babylon. So he had a whole year after that to repent. At the end of 12 months, he was walking in the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke and said, Is not this great Babylon which I have built for the royal dwelling place by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass as an oxen, and 7 years, seven times, shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he will. That same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and ate grass as an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair was grown like the eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation, to all the inhabitants of the earth, are reputed as nothing. And he does according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can stay his hand or say to him, What are you doing? At the same time, my understanding returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty, the brightness returned to me, and my counselors and my rulers sought to me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven. He's talking about Yahweh. And all his works are true, and his ways justice. And those that walk in pride he is able to humble. Now, if he can humble the king that ruled the whole earth at that time, he can humble each and every one of us. Yahweh is our king, brethren. He must rule in each and every one of our lives. Turn to Psalm 26. Psalm 26. Judge me, O Yahweh, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in Yahweh without wavering. Examine me, O Yahweh, and prove me. Try my heart and my mind. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with men of falsehood, neither will I go in with dissemblers. Got to think about who we're hanging with, brother. We got to think about who we're talking to. I hate the assembly of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass your altars, O Yahweh, that I may make the voice of thanksgiving to be heard and tell of all your wondrous works. Yahweh, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Gather not my souls with sinners, nor my life with men of blood, in whose hands is wickedness, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in an even place, and the congregation will I bless Yahweh. And truly, those who worship Yahweh will have that opportunity to bless him and to worship him in spirit and in truth. But we know that the last days are upon us, brother. Last days are upon us. Revelation chapter 13. We have to make a choice. Is Yahweh our king? Are we going to worship him and him only? Or are we going to give in to the beast? Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And he stood upon the sand of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his head, horns, 10 diadems, and upon his head, the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as though it had been struck to death, and his death stroke was healed, and the whole earth wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to war with him? And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And there was given to him authority to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth for blasphemies against Yahweh, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, even them that dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And there was given to him authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of the life of the Lamb that has been killed. If any man has an ear, let him hear. If any man is for captivity, into captivity he goes. If any man shall kill with the sword he must be killed. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And over to Revelation 21. Verse 1, we have a contrast. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were gone, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Yahweh, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the throne, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he shall tabernacle with them, and they shall be his people. And Yahweh himself shall be with them, and be their Elohim. Yahweh is going to be our mighty one, brethren. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. The first things are passed away. And he that sits on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he says, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he says to me, They have come to pass. I am the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is thirsty of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his mighty one, his El, and he shall be my son. But for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and the murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Brethren, which group are you going to be a part of? The ones who accept Yahweh as their king will keep that covenant of life and peace. Those who choose the beast will perish for that so-called immediate filling of their belly. But Yahweh will bless us who choose him with eternal life. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you that is continually being sincere and keeping and serving him and him only as king. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother James Sturm if he would close with a word of prayer.
Amen. We bless you, Almighty Yahweh, and thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for that word. May we be doers and not just hearers only, Father, that we would take this word within our heart, but we will walk forward in it, Father. We praise you for the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit that strengthens us to do your will. May we seek you continually, Father, and the purpose to every day is for me and my house, we shall serve Yahweh. Father, I just pray that you bless each one as we go forth from here, that we would let our light truth shine, that men would see our good works and glorify you, our Heavenly Father. We give you praise and thanksgiving, and may you watch over us and protect us and lift up our countenance, and may we always continually look to you, our strength and our shield, a mighty tower in which we can run into. We give you praise and honor and great esteem in the precious, wonderful name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.